This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
All right, good evening and welcome inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field for the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman. The head coach joins us and you can too. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351 on our broadcast this evening. Is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Jags finished the regular season Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff, which means we begin things for those of you in Jacksonville and, of course, on the web with the Publix tailgate show at 10 a.m. Pick up the network at noon, kickoff at 1, and we'll wrap up the season with a post game after the game is over. Good evening, Coach. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to all of you as well.
Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Got my belly full. You know, it's Thursday. It's Christmas week. It doesn't get any better than that.
But you didn't take the day off yesterday, did you? You got in here with your coaching staff and worked.
No, you know, we worked longer on Tuesday night so that we could have Wednesday with our family. So it worked out great.
Oh, good for you.
When's the last time you had a Christmas day that you could actually enjoy?
We were talking about that at home and the staff, and I can't remember. It just fell on a time that we could do this. I think there was, 10, 11 other teams that took advantage of it, and, you know, it really worked out well. Our players came back refreshed and ready to go today, had a great practice. So, you know, it just worked out that, you know, it fit in the schedule.
I mean, because think about it. I mean, every year, Thanksgiving, if you're not playing on Thanksgiving, then you're prepping. And then Christmas season, it's just a matter of what day of the week it falls on. I mean, you get lucky if Christmas falls on a Tuesday and you've got a Sunday game. But, I mean, it's nice to
part of the lifestyle.
Yeah.
When you're
part
in football, you're going to work.
I think the wives are shocked more than anything.
At some point, she wondered whether you're going to go in, right? Yeah. Hey, don't you guys have a meeting or something this afternoon?
That's right.
And getting set to finish it up on Sunday in Indianapolis, and more roster moves, or at least more roster machinations you've got to go through. Geno Hayes, you announced, not going to play on Sunday.
Right. Yeah, you know, and he didn't play last week, and JT Thomas did a good job filling in for him. And, you know, that linebacking group, we kind of have a little rotation. Puz, you know, we can count on. He's solid. But at that Sam and Will spot, we've been moving some guys around. But it's been a good opportunity to see how these guys have really progressed through the year.
Does he ever take a guy like Paul Posluszny for granted?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because, you know, when you have a guy, I mean, you got guys on both sides of the ball like that. I mean, Uche and Brad have played every snap on offense. And then defensively, Paul hadn't played every snap. But it's been darn near every snap, and he's a guy that you can count on week in and week out.
He is. You know, and he had a couple cuts underneath his chin last week. And it was when he started making motion to the sideline, you know, it was like, okay, you know, Nate Stupar, here you go.
Right.
But, you know, Puz is just, he is somebody you can count on. You never take a guy like that for granted, just how good he's been for us.
How do you stop the run, Coach? In the last 2 weeks, we've seen the opponent run 44 times in each of the last 2 weeks. How do you get the run shut down like you had been for most of the previous couple of weeks?
Well, I think, you know, like I've said before, the biggest thing is that they feel confident to run it 44 times. I think that's the biggest thing, that, you know, we've got to manage the run to get it to where we get them one-dimensional. And, you know, anytime you're, you know, the league average is, if you're at 3.9 yards per rush, you know, that's solid defense. And they were at, what, just over 4?
But 4.1,
it's the 4.1, but the 44 times, that tells me they're controlling the game. And, you know, that's what we got to get that out of their hands. And you do that, you got to be careful. You can't all of a sudden incorporate 3 new defenses, especially if you got a bunch of new guys playing. So it requires guys playing better technique and really, you know, being disciplined and execute, and kind of somewhat of the things we looked at bye week.
Guys like Kyle Love and Drake Nevis come in. They're veterans. I mean, you've got a young guy that played a lot last week and Jordan Miller. Did they get an opportunity this week?
They do. They all three do. And, you know, that's it. When you get two guys in, you know, this week. But they played some football. The techniques aren't hard. Fortunately, at defensive line, you know, you can really simplify things for them to learn it quickly. So, you know, we'll go to work with those guys. And they've had a good week, you know, a good week on, or a good day on Tuesday, back again today. So they're picking things up. Now it's just going to come how well they play on Sunday.
When you talk about numbers, I mean, numbers can be interpreted a lot of different ways. You know, for example, if you guys are scoring 30 points a game on offense, then all of a sudden the opponent can't run the ball 44 times. I mean, so a lot of that has to come into play when you talk about numbers.
It is. You know, you look at the total points and you say, well, they scored less points, Tennessee did, than the first time we played them. But, you know, that's not how we think. We think, what do we have to do to put us in position to strike or have a chance to be successful? And that's what we look at as coaches and saying, you know what, if we could score more points or, you know, create some opportunities. But really, to the offense defense, they had 10 possessions the whole game, two of which were two-minute situations. So it comes back, the defense has to give the offense more opportunities.
And I think when you take it to even further degree, you look at third down percentage. In your four wins here, Coach, in the last 6 weeks, you're converting at 44%. And in the two losses against the Titans and the Bills, just 31%.
Right, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, those numbers show. Now, on defense, on the other hand, defense was something that we really worked hard to do against Tennessee. I think the defense was like 23%,
right.
You know, held them. So those are good numbers, you know, defensively. It's just the run, and then offensively, we got to capture those opportunities on third down.
For you guys, though, on offense, what's the focus this week? With so many different changes at that wide receiver position, can Jed Fish advance, you know, his game planning now that he's gotten kind of a consistent lineup the last couple weeks?
Well, I think the challenge every week is to really play to the strengths of our players. So you find out that we have Kerry Taylor. What does he do well? What is, you know, Ace, what does he do well? Mike Brown, what do they do well? So you really, in the passing game, really redefine it to what are those strengths. So it might change a little bit. And, you know, that's where you'd like to have consistency so you can consistently grow. But here it's now developing a game plan based on their strengths.
With a guy like Kerry Taylor, and he's been playing for a couple weeks now, how is it long enough to know what he does best?
Well, I can tell you we're excited about some of the things he does. I look at it more also as a mentality. You know, you go back to that Buffalo game where, you know, he had a critical third down and we missed on it. And then he came back and made four really, really good catches. And you saw him carry that into the next game. So that's the type of mentality that we want. Really a quick memory, short memory, bounces back, has the ability to make big plays when it counts. And, you know, those are the things that as a coaching staff you love to build on.
All right, you're listening to the Gus Bradley Show. And you can visit Jaguars.com to check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush. And you'll get caught up in all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. We'll take this break, come back with more with the head coach here on the Thursday night after Christmas on the Jaguars Radio Network. Hey, Jags fans, put that cash back in your wallet and break out the Jaguars Visa debit card instead. Available exclusively through EverBank, you can score one by visiting a local financial center or at everbank.com/JagsCard. This card yields to no one and is yours free when you open an EverBank Yield Pledge checking account featuring powerful mobile banking apps and unlimited U.S. ATM reimbursements when you maintain a minimum average balance. So claim your Jags card at a local EverBank financial center near you or by visiting everbank.com/JagsCard. EverBank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Call Insurance Office of America today, 1-800-243-6899. Property insurance is not available in the state of Florida from Auto Owners Insurance.
Santa here. So I've been hearing that some of you feel that you didn't get what you wanted for Christmas. Well, you probably should have asked for a new Ford vehicle. Oh, but don't you pout. It's not too late to get what you really want because Prancer tells me that the final days of the Ford Dream Big sales event are going on now. See, before the elves went on vacay, they told me that this is the last chance of the year to get great deals on Ford's exciting lineup of fuel-efficient vehicles. Oh, but you better fly into your local Ford dealer soon because it all ends January 2nd. Santa out.
GovX.com, the largest direct-to-military and government website supplying service members and first responders with exclusive discounts on premium brands. From tactical to practical, GovX has the gear you want at the lowest prices. Shop 200 brands and over 15,000 products for you and your family. Then get out to a Jaguars game with specially priced tickets. Go to GovX.com for more information. G-O-V-X. GovX.com. Savings for those who serve.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman and the head coach. And this is the first chance we've really got to ask you about the Brad Meester play.
Yeah. I mean,
it got a lot, for all the right reasons, it got a lot of attention last week. What a cool move to take a player who has meant so much to so many although he's a center, and a lot of times we take him for granted. But when we saw that, I mean, everyone in our booth was standing and applauding.
Well, you know what? We did it for two reasons. One, obviously, we felt like the play had a chance to be successful. We scored on it earlier in an earlier game against Buffalo with Mercedes. And we felt like we had similar looks. And, you know, we decided, you know what? We can guarantee the look if we put Brad out there. And, you know, and then Jed and the offensive staff came up and we talked about, how's this fit? Is this going to be our philosophy? We said, let's do it. And then they came up with the details of it and made it a work. Fortunately, unfortunately, we didn't score. But it was a big game for us and got us down there even closer.
So now that you've seen Brad Meester with the ball in his hands, you know, now that you figure, hey, I know what he can do. You know, Jed Fish kind of come up with something new for him.
Hey, you know what? What'd they say? Repeat successful plays. That's a quality, you know, when you look at Meester offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
You know, if that's our personality, we might have to do it again. But
hey.
You know what, I think it's but it really is a credit to the offensive staff to try, you know, and that look that Brad got, that's really what we're trying to do with the rest of our players. And you see it with Ace in the backfield, you know, Mike Brown catching certain routes. We're really trying to find out what are guys' strengths, how can we attack a defense if they're giving us a consistent look.
Or you can use it as a decoy.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. 63 lines up as an eligible guy. The Colts are going to be going, Meester!
You know what? Yeah. You know what? Look, you're guaranteeing
yeah,
at least, right?
That's right. That's right.
You can join us. The Metro PCS call-in lines are open at 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351.
Did offensive line coach George Yarno have a talk with the offensive line? Because if Brad got a couple blocks, he's walking into the end zone.
Well, he kind of made a guy miss, didn't he? I mean,
yeah, well, he made
quick
his own
feet,
guy
miss. You know,
miss.
Planting off the outside yeah. foot, cut back inside.
But, I mean, he had blockers. I mean, he had Uche, he had Austin Pazdor, he had Drew yeah. Nowak. If they all just block a guy, then Brad makes the right cut, he's in.
He had a chance. That's right. You know what? The impressive thing was he was high and tight, too. You know, all this, all the talk that we've had about the ball, and it's all about the ball and, you know, his opportunity.
Don't you know there'd be a photo of that with him running with the ball over the town bar? Right in Parkersburg, Iowa, and one in his motorcycle's garage. You know it forever.
Might be above his fireplace.
Exactly. Wow.
We had him on the television show Monday, and I said, "Did you save the page of from the playbook?" And he said, "No." I said, "You got to get that."
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
That's worthy putting into a picture frame.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sure he'll recall that. All the plays he's made, all the blocks he's had. That one will, when he wakes up in the middle
that's
of the
night.
That's
the one he's going to remember.
That's right. That's the one he'll remember.
Well, yeah, you talk about the offensive line. It brings us to a terrific player. They've got a block in Robert Mathis this week. I mean, 16 and a half sacks. This guy just keeps on going. He's passed Dwight Freeney for the most by an Indianapolis Colt, and who knew that he would get to that? And right now, I mean, he's as good as you'll find in the NFL, Coach.
He really is. I mean, his effort, his tenacity, every play, too. And he'll make plays, you know, a sack, and he'll run down the field. He'll chase plays. You've always got to be aware. He's ball aware for running backs. Just a tremendous player, and we really need to be aware where he's at.
If you had to make the prototypical Leo, you know, you're going into the lab, would Robert Mathis not be it?
Yeah, he'd be definitely at the top of the list. He's that productive. And you know what? That's the Leo spot. That's what you hope to get out of it, where you see a guy, he's playing on the open side quite a bit. He has a chance to make some big plays. When you have that speed, that effort, that's really the total package.
Because when I sit there and watch Robert Mathis, when you came in and you talking about this Leo, I said, man, it's maybe the best guy in the league at that.
Yeah.
Would be Mathis. I mean, just the height, weight, speed, you know, ability to rush the passer, ability to cover in space.
Right. Yeah, he's got that. You know, and now he's doing some 3-4 principles where on occasion he'll even drop. So, yeah, those types like Von Miller, you know, Mathis, all those guys. And, you know, that's why with a guy like, you know, Babin does some good things for us. And you can see when he was in his prime, you know, he's still playing some good ball. But, I mean, you know, guys like that, they're hard to find.
You know, when the Colts had Dwight Freeney on one side, Robert Mathis was always on the other. Do they move him around a lot now, or does he pretty much come from one side or the other?
Well, they'll move him around based on formations and things, and, you know, where they if they want to get a mismatch or by alignment. But
We always just talk about the right tackle having to block him, and that's not necessarily the case any longer.
Yeah. You know, in a 3-4 principle, too, they'll move around quite a bit.
The greatest thing that he has, though, because he's a joy to watch, is his motor.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very few that have a motor like that.
Well, lead the league in effort is a saying that we use quite a bit around here. And, you know, that's how we want our guys, their mindset. And, you know, sometimes you show illustration of what the bar, how high is that bar set. And you pull out plays of Robert Mathis and said, that's the bar.
The other guy that stands out from their defensive front, just in terms of effort, is Corey Redding. He seems to set the tempo for them.
Well, you know what? Corey Redding was, when I was in Seattle, I had the opportunity to coach him. And, you know, same mentality, that toughness, that real aggressive type player, good leader, really strong leader, probably, you know, holds that defense together. You know, I know they all look to him. So, yeah, a very good fit for them.
The guy that wasn't active the last time you played the Colts, LaRon Landry, the hard-hitting free safety. We obviously saw his brother DeJuan here for many years. What do you see in a LaRon Landry?
Well, that physical safety, for in our scheme, he would be a strong safety. That guy that can come down in the box, hard hitting, sure tackler, just a really aggressive player. And I think that's receivers know where he's at based on his abilities.
All right, this portion of the Gus Bradley Show has been brought to you by Fanatics.com. We'll take a break and return. You're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, rolling right along here from the HananiahAutos.com studio. This is the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach getting ready for the Colts on Sunday. People think of the Colts. Used to be Peyton Manning. Didn't take long. Now it's all about Andrew Luck.
Yeah, a phenomenal player. I mean, just think of it. He comes in as a rookie. You know, he has a good year, comes back. You know, you're looking to see how he does his second year. I mean, just is performing at a high level. Really, really smart. Makes really good decisions for their team. I don't know. I think they're, plus 11 or something?
They are.
You know, on turnovers. So that tells you right there he's making really good decisions with the ball.
Fewest turnovers in the league, fewest penalties in the league.
You know, it comes back. I think we talked about earlier about having a culture of execution, and that's really what Indy's all about. They execute on offense and defense. They rarely make mistakes. If they do, then you see a game like the Rams, you know, where they make some mistakes. But traditionally, that each week and in and out of each week, they play at a high level.
Last year when you were in Seattle, did you ever face Andrew Luck?
No.
Okay. But did you ever watch him on film to kind of see where he was at?
Yeah, we saw him. I think, if I remember right, Chicago played him really early in the year. And it was like the first game. So, I saw him that game. But, just very impressive. I mean, can make plays on the run, can run. He did that against us the first time we played him. So, yeah, he's got the whole package.
Where do you see his biggest improvement? Is it this decision making?
Yeah, that sometimes takes the longest. You know, and Matt Hasselbeck is there now with him. And I know just talking to Matt prior to him going there and then after our first game, just, how smart he is and how he picks things up so fast for being such a young player.
You know, when you think of quarterbacks in this league, you tend to think of big numbers because that's what, Peyton Manning does and what a lot of these guys do. His numbers don't dazzle you, but here's one that does, and that is his fourth quarter come from behind victories. He's already got almost a dozen of them, and he doesn't even have 24 straight starts yet.
Well, I think
Sunday is his 32nd straight start.
I'm not so sure he couldn't get to that point where he's like that, but they're really in his progression. They're bringing him along slowly. You know, they're saying, okay, let's do this. Let's not put too much on his plate. But you can see they're adding more and more and putting it in his hands. And just a phenomenal player.
That's kind of the biggest surprise because I remember early in the season watching the Colts and they're trying to really kind of force that running game. And you could tell that they were forcing it. You don't see them doing that quite as much anymore.
Well, I think, the confidence they have in the running game. And, it's hard as an offensive coordinator when you got a quarterback like that and you have a chance to get explosive plays or get gains of 15, 20 yards, with one opportunity. It's hard to have conviction with the run game. But as Donald Brown is now performing better and they're feeling more confident with him, it'll slowly come back. We expect to see him run the ball a little bit more.
Well, and Luck runs the ball pretty well, too. He averages 6 yards per carry. And, it's not like he's carried it 14 times. He's got 61 rushing attempts on the year.
Well, what that has an effect on is your rush patterns up front. The games that you have up front, the twist games, some of your rush pass that you take with the defensive line, all those now come into effect now with a guy that can run like him.
He reminds me a lot of John Elway when John was younger because, John was always a threat to run. He still had, an accomplished arm. But when he ran or he got hit while he was getting ready to take off, he had incredible strength.
Yeah.
Which Andrew has.
Well, we talk about having a tackling plan for the running backs that we face because you have different styles. And, this week now is with Andrew Luck. You know, whether you're a blitzer or a guy that is going to tackle them downfield, a DB, you have to have a plan in place before you get to the game. So if that opportunity presents itself, you don't have to think about what you're going to do. You can just react and do it.
The tackling plan I'd like to hear you on is Trent Richardson. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, he's not the starter anymore, and his yards per carry is not impressive. He doesn't wow you. But the one thing that he does impress upon you is how strong he is as a runner.
Well, you know, when you talk about tackling plan, when it happens in the box, you know, a linebacker, you know, they'll try to tackle him high, you know, and make those type of tackles. It's when he gets out in the perimeter, you know, and he gets some space, and now you're a corner coming to tackle him. You know, if you try to tackle Trent Richardson high there and you're Alan Ball, that might not be a wise decision. And that's why it's better to have a plan in place. Okay, I'm going to shoot his outside leg. I'm going to, you know, jag tackle him. I'm going to wrap him up and twist my body so, you know, my shoulders take the majority of the blow. Or, you know, you just have to have a plan with these guys. So when it comes into place, it looks like it's been something that's been in effect for a long time.
Yeah, I forget where we were, but I was talking to one of the guys in the press box and said, our team makes Donald Brown look like Jim Brown. And, you know, Brown's a guy who came in as a first-round pick of those Colts. And he never really has erupted like a lot of folks thought he might, but he does come with big plays when you least expect it, doesn't he?
He did against Kansas City, yeah. You know, and a lot of those were just missed tackles. You know, they bounced off him, missed tackle here, missed tackle there, and you just got to know his style. And, you know, tackling at this time of the year, sometimes you see it start to go downhill a little bit. And, you know, that's why we've got to have that emphasis the whole week.
Why is that, tackling going downhill? Is it because of the padded practices and some of the fundamentals you can't do as much?
You generally, you know, at this time of year, you're done with padded practices for the most part, maybe even for a couple weeks. And, you know, so you have to be creative in how you do your tackling in practice. But, you know, sometimes the guys at this point in time, really physically too, they've taken a pounding, and you got to be smart and take care of your players. And so something has to give a little bit.
All right, Jaguars and Colts, 1 o'clock Sunday right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. We'll pause. When we come back, we'll talk with the head coach more about the Colts in advance of Sunday's game. This is the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. It's brought to you by PRI Productions. You know, one of the things, Jeff, you talk about with the Colts is they've got two really good tight ends, and one of them's healthy. And that's Kobe Fleener, who's healthy, and Dwayne Allen is not healthy. Fleener's a guy who played at Stanford, and clearly, Gus, Andrew Luck and Kobe Fleener have a intense communication thing going, because, man, they are always on the same page.
They really are. And now you're starting to see him, you know, design more plays for Fleener. You know, I see him, you know, sometimes on the backside of a slot formation where it's just the tight end all by himself, you see some standard route combinations. Well, not with Indy. They'll do some different things with Fleener that are really unique, that really tells us as a coaching staff they hold him in high regard, and they're trying to find creative ways to get him the ball.
But the guy that worries most defensive coordinators, T.Y. Hilton.
Well, anytime you got that speed, you know, that's a factor. And, you know, they like a lot of those slot formations. You get both receivers on the same side and then work combination routes. And a lot of them are designed to give Andrew a clear window, you know, a clear window to throw it in. And he's very effective at that. And T.Y., whenever you got a guy like that out there that has a chance to go deep off of that set, you know, it gets those defensive backs playing a little bit softer.
Watching the film against Kansas City last week, and I'm seeing this guy, number 17, I'm like, Austin Colley? Is that really Austin Colley? And it's a guy by the name of Griff Whalen. And over the last couple of weeks, I mean, this guy, who they elevated off of the practice squad, is doing some very impressive things.
He really is. And probably like Fleener now, because he played at Stanford. You know, I think there's a certain comfort level with Andrew. He knows what he's going to get, knows what he counts on. So anytime you have that type of chemistry, you know, quarterbacks gravitate towards those guys.
Well, it would seem that we could make the argument here that whoever steps in there, because of Andrew Luck, has a real good shot. Derek Rogers came in and had a big game against Cincinnati, and we've seen Levon Brazil have. In fact, both of those guys had two touchdowns in that Cincinnati loss.
Right, and you know what? If you can get the run game going, And, you know, it's still Trent Richardson, Donald Brown. You know, where Donald Brown can get you is if you don't pay close enough attention to you. He can spring, like you said, 2005.
2010, he had two big long touchdown runs.
You know, you've got to pay real close attention to him, and then you get that eighth man in the box. And with Andrew Luck, single high safety, you know, he can be effective.
Well, the guy in particular, I mean, Rodgers, just he came in.
Derek, it's actually pronounced Derek.
Okay.
Yeah. Derek Rodgers. I mean, he's a big guy, wide receiver, you know, 6'3", 215 pounds, another guy they elevated off of the practice squad.
Tennessee Tech.
Because, you know, I went and I actually looked at some of the numbers because Darius Hayward Bay is a guy that they signed from the Raiders. And when they had Hayward Bay and T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne, you were sitting there thinking, oh, my, can they stretch the field?
Right.
But over the last three games, Hayward Bay only has four catches. And he's been active. So I'm sitting there going, what in the world's going on? Well, how in the world do you find that much confidence in two young players like a Derek Rodgers and Austin Colley's impersonator, Griff Whalen? I mean, that's impressive. I mean, because it's got to be hard as an offensive coach to have confidence in a guy that may be an unproven commodity coming off the practice squad versus a guy that's been there, done that in Darius Hayward Bay.
Well, it goes back to, you know, how many things do they ask him to do? You know, and they come back and they run a few formations, they run a few pass sets or pass routes that they run, and they just run them over and over again, and it gives Andrew the same look over and over again. You're only going to get a few looks or certain looks, and I think that he feels comfortable with the looks, and the receivers run the routes, he gets to trust them, and if you're on the practice squad and work those combinations all the time, you get a chance.
You know, Coach, the pass rush this year has produced. I know it's not what you want or need, but you took the same players from last year, and you got 10 more sacks, 50% more production from them. So what do you attribute that to?
Well, I think that's a combination. We said earlier in the year that we're going to have to find creative ways to get rush. We came with the Leo spot. That helped. And then the Lightning and the Cheetah and the Bandit and, you know, all those different packages that we have. We're just trying to find creative ways to get rush. You know, it's been effective, you know, especially on third down where we've seen some pressure on the quarterback. We just need to get to more of those opportunities, long yardage opportunities where we can get those packages on the field.
All right, so the Lightning package is the three Leos and send Derek. What is the Cheetah package?
Well, there's certain packages, you know, if they come out with three wides, you know, it might be a certain time where maybe they're a heavy run team and you send your base D lineman out there. But it could be a second nine where you got one big guy in there and, you know, just in case they do run. But you get some, you know, two big guys, but one of them is more of a pass rushing type. And then the third downs, obviously, where you go Lightning and you're getting three Leos out there saying the chance for run is unlikely. We need speed on the field and we need to get creative with our pass rush.
Two guys in particular, Babin has three sacks in the last four games. Andre Branch has five sacks in the last six games. These two guys would appear, Coach, to have a nice friendly competition, you know, playing off of each other well.
Well, and you know what? We're asking them to do different roles, too. You know, Jason Babin, now he's kind of a spinner. Andre Branch is kind of a spinner where you see him up in their feet moving around. So it's not maybe ideal at times for them where they got their hand down off the edge and rushing. But again, because of their egos, they've set it aside, and they've really been, you know, welcoming this with open arms to say, hey, somebody's going to get a chance to get some pressure, and if it's me that is going to give them a chance, then I'll be the spinner this time. And on occasion, the spinner gets his opportunities as well.
I think Roy Miller is lobbying for a package in the future called Thunder. where he can
Fever.
he can be that guy.
Yeah. We have that too on short yards where we bring it, take out all the Leos and put in all the heavy guys. So yeah, you know, I think it's really a credit to Bob and the defensive staff. They're just trying to find ways to get guys on the field, and with that it keeps morale high. You know, when everybody's involved, everybody has their role, I think they all feel a part of it.
And it goes without saying that when you got a guy like Andrew Luck who can move with the ball, being in your lanes is critical this week.
It really is. You
being
know,
aware.
And Todd Wash has got his hands, you know, he's got to get the games and the certain style of runs and passes and get the certain combinations that we want out there at the right time.
All right, we're due for a break. Let's take it now. As we go, we'll remind you to stop by Gate. They make game day the best experience possible with snacks, food, drinks, and everything you're looking for. Stop by Gate today. This is Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, Jaguars and Colts on Sunday, 1 o'clock from Lewis Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. 10 o'clock for the public's tailgate show. Kickoff at 1. Can you believe it? I mean, here we are at the end of the season already. I mean, the first 8 weeks seemed to drag a little bit, but all of a sudden, second wind comes along at the bye week, and it's just flown by.
Yeah, you know what? As a coach, you don't even look ahead or look behind. You just, okay, next week, let's go.
Right.
You know, we got to get going. And now it's, you know, we just played last week. Okay, let's get the Indy tape on. Let's look at them. Until you guys mention it or a lot of people bring it to your attention, you're like, oh, yeah, there's some things we got to cover here now. It's our last opportunity to compete and go out there. And our players had that same mentality. I didn't know what we were going to get this year, but you still have to see it. And it went out there, and the way they practiced today, you know, it's really a credit to our team.
What's been the most impressive thing? And if you go back and you look at the first 8 weeks, and then you look at the last second part, the second half of the season, the second 8 weeks, what's been the most impressive in the first eight, and what's been the most impressive thing in the second eight?
Well, in our philosophy of just constantly trying to be at our best, I think that, you know, one thing that at the beginning of the year I said it's going to be critical to see how do we, you know, that we don't get caught up in the losses, we don't, you know, revel in the accomplishments. And I think that's what happened with our team. We didn't get caught up with the losses, and it gave us the opportunity to improve. And we had really highly spirited competitive practices. And you saw the team really improve at a high rate. And then we had some wins there. And now let's not revel in our accomplishments. And we did that, you know, for a couple weeks there. And I think that's what's impressive about this team. In neither prosperity or adversity, we didn't flinch. And, boy, you know, it's really impressive. It just gives you a chance to get good in a hurry.
You know, we probably go both sides of the ball with this, but when I think about the culture and I think about the personality of your team, on the defensive side in particular, you know, Cindric Marks, Paul Posluszny, Jonathan Cyprian, I mean, these are guys who embody exactly what you're talking about. Steady, productive, but great personalities.
Right. You know, that's what I told our coaching staff, too. I said, you will not work with another group like this for as long as you coach. I mean, all the things that we've gone through, the travel, the games, the you know, some of the victories, the losses, you know, all those things, these guys have not once flinched. And it did. It really gave us an opportunity. And it didn't matter who came in. You think of it, 230 roster changes.
Oh,
or
amazing.
230. And they didn't flinch on that. And it's a highly competitive team. And to somehow form a team is really a credit to our players. Really
with,
a credit.
With those 230 roster changes, especially over the last couple of weeks, you've had to work a lot with David Caldwell. What has that been like this year, that progression of working with Dave throughout the season, especially lately with the number of roster changes with key guys?
Right. Well, what I appreciate about Dave is that how competitive he is, and it doesn't stop. You know, we just brought in a couple guys this week to try to help our team. And, you know, it's not a, okay, here we go, we got three games left, and let's just, here's our roster, and let's go. If there's somebody out there that could help us and improve our team, he's all for it. And I think he just shows a lot of wisdom for his age. He really knows when to bring guys in and when to say, you know what, let's elevate our guys off to practice squad.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with head coach Gus Bradley after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, rolling right along towards the top of the hour, the conclusion of another Gus Bradley Show. You can join us on the Metro PCS call-in line to 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351.
Let's talk special teams for a minute. You know, over the last number of weeks, Ace Sanders continues to be that punt returner. Have you ever thought, and I'd asked you this about a month and a half, 2 months ago, have you ever thought about making that position maybe competitive and letting Will Blackman get a few turns at it?
Well, you know what? Will Blackman's probably Ace's biggest fan, you know, and they're out there, they're competing every day. And I think that, you know, Ace has the ability. We saw it in the St. Louis game. You know, it was, I think it was after safety, correct?
It was, yeah.
You know, where he had a chance to break it and he was a block away, you know, missed block or a penalty. But he has that. I think, you know, sometimes, you know, just like turnovers, we say they come in bunches. I think what Ace needs is that one big return. And I think that once he feels it and the punt return team feels it, I think that he has a chance. You're going to see it more often. We just got to get that first one. But there's always competition at that spot. And, you know, Will's had some success too.
Does he go sideline to sideline too much for your liking? Does he need to go north and south?
Well, you know, some of the opportunities, you know, he's had some fair catches, you know, you saw in the game. But then he did have an opportunity, and he's got to make that first guy miss. And that's why sometimes you see him, you know, go east and west to make that first guy miss. But after that, you're right, he's got to get north and south, and he'll learn that.
During last week's game, Kerry Taylor was dying to come out of the end zone because the ball kept getting kicked deep. And he finally gets a chance. What was it, a 43-yard?
Yeah.
A nice job.
He did a nice job. You know what? And you saw it. The blocking, everything was right there. And you like now, Kerry's just got to make that last guy miss, you know, and when you get that opportunity. And that's what takes you to the next level as a returner, when you do get that opening like that to take it to the house.
You mentioned 230 roster moves this year. Has anybody had a more, I don't know, compelling job than Mike Mallory on special teams, trying to fit guys in week to week?
Yeah, you know,
I don't
what?
Know if our listeners understand how big a job that can be.
Right, and I think, you know what, it settled down some for him, you know, after we picked up the waiver guys and, you know, we got into the season, but still to develop them. And, you know, every week is a challenge for Mal because a lot of it depends on who's active. And, you know, that might go up until Sunday right before the game. And, you know, so you might see him coaching a few guys up in the locker room. And really, with all the statistics, and you look at them, and, you know, we're close to the top 10 in many categories, it really is a credit to Mal.
And in the last 2 weeks, he's had to deal with a lot of linebacker issues, which impacts his special teams in a huge way.
Well, you know what? A special teams coach really likes the fact if he can have a lot of length on his special teams. You know, a lot of tall guys, you know, 6'3", 250 pounds that can run. And in our system, we have some of those guys. That's what the Leo spot creates. And, you know, now he's just got to, you know, draw from the Leo spot. That's why you see Brancher on quite a few special teams as well. But the more guys you can get like that, then the more he has to choose from, the more effective you can be.
You signed a guy, I guess was it a week ago, Gerald Rivers.
Yeah.
Leo position guy?
Yeah.
Might we see him?
I don't know if we'll be able to get him active this week. We did, you know, we liked what we saw on tape from him. He has that Leo spot. I think he's a guy that, you know, we just need to really take a look at his skills. He has a skill set. One's a 4.55.
Wow.
He's got that length that we're talking about. So Mike Mallory is all over him. And I think to be effective rusher, we just, you know, Coach Wash needs to work with him a little bit more to get him to that point. But really intriguing guy to have on the roster.
All right, let's take our final break. We'll come back and wrap up this edition of the Gus Bradley Show from the HennityAutos.com studio after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, Jaguars and Colts on Sunday. How quickly do you go from the pace of a season, Coach, you know, which is 125 miles an hour, to a much slower pace? I mean, is it within a couple of days that you and your staff are changing gears and getting moving in a different direction, or does it still keep going for you at a pace for a while?
Well, it you know, not without too much time. I know we have a team meeting Monday.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And then after that, you know, we have a plan as a coaching staff, and, you know, we'll have a couple days where we try to regroup and get some time with our family, but then it's back at it, and it really is. I mean, in this league, it's so competitive. You're always looking for that edge, and if it's not so much, maybe we can't do anything with the roster. You're always looking at ways to improve your mindset, to help guys perform at a higher level. I mean, you're always competing in all these areas to try to help your team be at the highest level.
How long does it take, you know, a coach to decompress? And I know everybody's different, but to step back and just take a deep breath and then come back and analyze what you've just done.
Well, I think it is important to decompress. I think it's important for them to really get away for a while because, you know, it's just like any time you have a week off and you come back and all of a sudden you look at things a little differently or you get more accomplished as a staff. You go in there and you say, all right, now let's put the tape on again and let's go through this. It just feels like you have a clearer mind and you make wiser decisions. So, you know, hopefully, you know, 10 days or so, they have a clearer mind. You know, and it's needed, you know, not only just for your mind as a football coach to make good decisions, but it's needed for many of their families, you know, to get back and reconnect with their family and see their kids and their wife and get to know them. And you know, it's that important. And we're so fortunate that many of our staff members, all of them have great wives, you know, and that's critical.
And it's that body of work that Jeff just mentioned. I mean, you're finishing year one And that's a whole – I mean, do you go back and analyze it when it's all said and done in chunks, or do you look at the whole big picture?
Well, you're constantly analyzing, even during the season. And I think, you know,
yeah. So you don't necessarily have to go all the way back to step one.
Well, you do. I mean, after each week, you sit down and say, what would we have done different? What could we do better? How do we do this again? You know, where do we make mistakes? Can we utilize personnel better? But I do think, just like the bye week, when you have that time, when you're not constricted with so much time, the time element, you really get a chance to really think things through. And I think that's what the off season's for.
And how much do you analyze your own work as a coaching staff?
You do. You've always are constantly trying to find better ways to teach it, better ways to, you know, terms, you know, drill work, how you're going to set up. If there was some things that you had in your scheme that they didn't seem like they picked up, you obviously point the finger at yourself first and say, you know what, maybe it's us. Maybe we need to find a better way to teach it.
All right, so we have less than a minute, and I hate to give you such a good question to answer at the very end like this, but this is the last time that this team will play together, because no team is the same in this league from year to year, isn't it? I imagine you're ready to go out and enjoy the last game with this group.
Well, that's what we said this week. We really want to enjoy this, you know, this opportunity. And, you know, we've had quite a bit of roster changes, but the core group of guys have been in place. And hopefully we get those core group guys back. But, you know, it has been an unbelievable experience, and these guys are, you know, I wish everybody had the opportunity to see these guys day in and day out, because they are really special.
Been a unique year, a week in California, a week in London. Coach, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Thursday night.
Sounds great. Thank you.
That's head coach Gus Bradley. And that'll do it for the Gus Bradley Show. For those of you in Jacksonville, or if you're on the web, stay tuned. Brunel and Buscelli step in for Jaguars Thursday. Have a great night, everybody.